Lord, we do want to be working in your field. We want to be found in the center of your will, Lord Jesus, and whatever you want us to do, we want to do it. We want to do what your will is and not what our will is. We ask you to bless tonight and touch each one of our hearts and let me be found doing your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Look in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 16:5. You know, back 2 or 3 years back, when we had already 5 or 6, 7 missionary families on the field out of this church, I think we were all kind of hesitant to preach more messages on going to the mission field. And the reason being is we didn't think, you know, that the church could support any more missionaries. But I think we've all been witnesses, all of us missionaries, that the more that go down there, doesn't hurt our support at all. In fact, usually our support goes up with every family that goes down to Mexico. So we can't really use that as a judgment as far as how many can be down there, because the Lord's always blessed and always supply our needs. And so I found myself at the beginning of this week, or over the weekend, wondering, you know, if the Lord was trying to deal with us as Mike and Brent led out, you know, that we need to work where we are. And I think that's true. But I don't want to lose that emphasis on also going out, because the Lord calls out people. And He may call you here, He may call you there. So we need to always be open to the Lord, because He leads certain people different ways, as He has led us and He has led you. So look here in verse 5. He says, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." You know, you find Paul here, he went to Ephesus. We'll look here in Acts in a little while. He went to Ephesus to preach the gospel, and it was very interesting. He says that a great door and effectual was opened there, and there are many adversaries. When you find Ephesus wasn't the place where missionaries would have been gladly welcomed. I mean, it's about like going down to San Juan de los Lagos. If you've ever been there, that's a bad place to be as far as idolatry. I mean, every year people go there from miles around to venerate this virgin, this statue that they attribute miracles to her. And so a preacher of the gospel would not be really welcomed in a town like that. And so was the case here in Ephesus. Ephesus was a place of terrible idolatry. They worshiped the goddess Diana. And so, but it's very interesting. Paul says that a great door was opened there. Amen. Even if there was that kind of idolatry and religion. So a lot of people tend to shy away from that kind of a ministry, that kind of a work, because they think that they wouldn't be too accepted there, or maybe God wouldn't want them to cause a stir or cause a problem. Well, Paul said that a great door was opened there in Ephesus. Amen. So we can't really judge where to go by what kind of a religion is there. Or maybe it's exactly what we should do. We should go where that religion is, where that falsehood is, where the people are steeped in the religion idolatry, to take them the gospel. So let's look back in Acts chapter 19. And let's find out what kind of a great door was opened there in Ephesus. Now keep in mind what kind of a town this was. Acts 19 verse 8. It says that Paul, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Paul went into the synagogue and for 3 months he disputed in that place. And that's a great door, if you ask me. A great door is when you can go to a place like that, into the synagogue of the Jews, and you can preach the gospel, you can dispute with the people for 3 months. That's a great door. A great door is open to Paul. He was able to go in there. He didn't have to preach the gospel under the couch somewhere, or just, you know, live a life and hope people will see his life and get saved. Paul went to the synagogue, and he preached the gospel in the synagogue for 3 months. What else happened? Verse 9, he says, "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus." Paul left the synagogue for 3 months, and what happened? He went to a school. So I don't know what kind of school this was, probably some philosophical school, I don't know what it was, but he disputed daily in that school. That's kind of the way I want to see open. I want to be able to go into a place and preach the gospel where I can go into the school or into the synagogue or in the streets or in the parks and preach the gospel. That's an open door. That's a great door that was open in Nepal. And this, remember this town, what this town is like. This town is not, you know, the haven of preachers. It's a town that did not like preachers, did not like the gospel. They were completely opposed to the gospel. He disputed daily in this town, in this school. In Acts chapter 20, we find Acts 20:20. Paul has already called the elders together of this church to talk to him. And he tells them how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. What a great door. Paul was able to go into this town and teach publicly in the park, in the school, in the synagogue, house to house, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a town that did not like preachers, a town that worshiped idols, a town that was everything contrary when we think of an open town of the gospel. But it was a great door. It was a great door open. I want to tell you that there are some open doors today, brothers. Amen. There are open doors today in this world. There's some shut doors, there's some closed doors, but there's some open doors.
Amen.
A lot of people are all worried about these doors that are closed when there's countless doors that are already open, just waiting to be used, just waiting to be walked through and used, and preach the gospel to these people. That's the case in Mexico. Mexico is an open, a great door open to the gospel.
Amen.
It is a great door. If you've been there to visit us or any other missionary, you found out that it is a great door. It is open to the gospel. We can preach on the streets. We can do anything we want as far as preaching the gospel. And we've met with very little opposition from authorities. Oh, we've got all kinds of opposition from the devil and from people that don't like us. But as far as the authorities are concerned, we've had little to no opposition from the authorities. It is an open door. We can go down there for 6 months at a time and live in a house. And preach the gospel without having to worry about getting kicked out as of now. Now maybe down the line things might change, but as of yet, it's been open. It's been a great door open to the gospel.
Amen.
We can preach, we preach in streets. Paul preached in the synagogue. We haven't quite preached in the synagogue yet. We haven't quite gotten to the temple yet to preach the gospel. But I tell you, we preached several times in front of the Catholic Church. Not on purpose, not trying to antagonize, but we preach street by street, so sometimes there'll be a Catholic temple right in the middle of a neighborhood. And so on one side of the street, you've got about 15 houses. On the other side, it's just the temple. So we can't leave that street out, right? So we preach right there in front of that temple to all those houses. And we haven't had any problem with that. We haven't had priests come out with chains and with you know, gun trying to run us off. It's open to the gospel. It's a great door. We can preach openly. We can preach openly. We can preach against these things, against the priesthood, against the idols, against all kinds of things that most people would be afraid to do because they're afraid of something happening. And we were afraid, believe me, we were afraid. It took Bill and I about 2 years to get up enough gumption to get out in the streets and preach like that. We went door to door for a long time, but it took us a while to decide, you know, might as well try it. I mean, we've been here for 2 years and the Lord is, for some reason, holding back his hand. Nothing is happening. Well, let's just go out and preach in the streets and see what happens. And we did. We tried it. With a few reservations, of course. But the Lord is blessed.
Amen.
It's an open door. We can preach openly in the streets. We preach in parks downtown. I mean, right smack dab in the middle of downtown, we can get up and preach the gospel in this little park. I mean, this is the middle of town. You've got police all over the place that kind of patrol the area. You've got the Catholic Party headquarters right there in front of you. That's their big building right there. We preach right there, and there's no problem. It's an open door. It's a great door.
Amen.
We can preach. We preach to seminary students. We preach to nuns. We preach to priests. We preach to all kinds of people, all kinds of classes of people. It's a great door.
Amen.
I say, when we can go into a town like León, which is a very Catholic town, and preach like that, I believe you can preach about anywhere as far as the religion is concerned, like Ephesus. If Paul could preach in Ephesus, where they worship that great goddess Diana, why, goodness, he could preach about anywhere. Amen. Linda was, I was telling Linda about this guy, Alejandro, that gives us a hard time when we're preaching. This guy's he's a real character. He's a real bad dude. He comes down there with this big old flag, you know, and it's about 4 foot high. He's got on a flagpole. And so he's coming down and he's chanting, you know, Viva la Virgen and all this. And as he's doing that, there's one of us preaching there. And he comes in behind and he just stabs in the back of that thing. Just trying to get you out of the way and stabbing the back. And then he starts pushing you and just getting really rough. So we're telling Lindo that we're teaching this guy how to gather a crowd. He, by us preaching, he's learned how to gather a crowd and boss. He goes over there and gets a few people and starts talking to them about how bad we are and what we do and we're gringos. And so after a while, he's got about 50 people gathered around and they start chanting all in unison, trying to give us a hard time. And I also told Lindo that he's taught us how to handle a crowd. Tell you that. We may have taught him how to gather a crowd, but he's taught us how to handle a crowd. If we preach and live on like we do, I tell you, this year is peanuts.
Amen.
I mean, you guys here, at first, you know, when we start preaching up here, it's kind of tough. But if you can preach like that, in a place like that, it gets you tough and hardened to anything now. I mean, they throw water all over you and they're just, you gotta be there to see. It's just, no words can explain the experiences in Leon downtown. Anyway, we've passed out tracts all over Mexico in every kind of situation you can think of. We went to that soccer tournament down there, and people from all over the world were there, of course, Brazil and everywhere. We passed out tracts there. We passed out tracts in cemeteries on the Day of the Dead, where people go to the cemeteries and work, and they pay respects to their deceased loved ones. And it's a real time of yeah, the reflection, they're real quiet and they're in sorrow, they're in pain because of their loved ones. And we've been out passing tracts to these people all over the country. We've been to all kinds of towns passing out tracts to these people. We've been to, religious pilgrimages, religious festivals. And that's what you gotta see. If you saw the slides, we have a video we're gonna show here one of these nights also of that pilgrimage in Guadalajara. But, we also passed out tracts in San Juan, which is the one I was thinking about a while ago. People just go miles around. I mean, from Mexico City, which is like a 6 or 8 hour drive, they walk from Mexico City to this town to pay respects to this virgin. And so we have a tremendous opportunity to get out there to these people on the highway and pass them out gospel tracts. And the tracts we pass out aren't exactly saying, God loves you, everything is rosy, and you'll have a good day.
Amen.
It's a great door. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Amen.
We have no problem with opposition from the government of preaching in Mexico. It is a great door open to the gospel. We've had Bible studies in homes all over the place, homes all over town, many class people, poor people, rich people, middle class people, all over the place. We've had Bible studies in their homes of these people. Some of them may be catechism teachers. Some of them may be ex-priests. Or ex-seminary students, or current seminary students, we can have Bible studies in their homes to teach them the Word of God. We've had meetings all over the place. We've had meetings in parks, in León, in Lagos, and in Aguascalientes. We have regular meetings. I know the Constitution sort of forbids it, and the Lord was gracious to us, and they sort of let us slide on that one. But we never had any opposition from that either. We had one time, we had the man in the park in León come over and say, listen, you guys can't be here. This is the park of the world. You cannot have a meeting like this here. He said, listen, he said, we're not causing you disturbance. We're not trying to cause problems. We were just having a regular meeting. We weren't trying to cause a problem to anybody else there. And the Lord was good to us and he let us alone. And we met there for a solid year without any more problems. That one man who had authority let us go and never bothered us again. So we've had tremendous opportunities in Mexico to have regular meetings, worship meetings, services, the Lord's table, prayer meetings in the open air, on the street, in a public park. That is a great door, bro. That is a great door. When you can take a bunch of believers and take them down to the public park and have a meeting, that is an open door. Try that in Russia. They'll probably shoot you. But it's an open door, you know. Paul said over there in Acts 16 that they tried to go into a certain place, but the Spirit forbade them. God sometimes closes the door to a certain place. You may have your eyes set on some certain ministry. You may have your eyes set on some certain place you want to go to serve the Lord. You may have your eyes set on some certain country or some certain city, but sometimes God closes the door. Ask Trini about that. He knows all about that, don't you, brother? I mean, God sometimes closes the door. We get ourselves all upset, all worried about where to go or where to move on next. We need to be looking for open doors.
Amen.
I remember a couple years back, we had a meeting down in Mexico. I think Melinda went down and Steve and some others. And we were deciding whether to quit working in a certain town or not and where to go to next and how to go about choosing a place to go to. And we came up with the conclusion that the apostles never did really, pray about where to go. They went, and when God closed the door, they went somewhere else. God just dragged them somewhere else. He has a way to do that. God is a powerful God, and He has a way of showing us, look, this door is closed to you. I don't want you to go. I want you to go over here. Amen. And He closes doors here, and He closes the doors there. So don't be discouraged when the place you want to go to all of a sudden gets closed to the gospel, or all of a sudden you don't have enough money to go there, or whatever reason you come up with, whatever happens, don't be discouraged when God closes the doors. He closed doors on Paul too.
Amen.
He closed doors on the apostles. So don't think that God is dealing bad with you or that you're maybe out of the will of God. God closes doors and He opens doors.
Amen.
You know, with one promise though we have in Revelation. He says, I am He that opens the door and no man shuts.
Amen.
And I close the door, no man opens
Amen.
It.
Right.
You know, if God opens the door in Mexico, no man can shut that door. Until God desires to shut that door is going to be open to the gospel. I thank the Lord for that open door in Mexico. You know, He also said there's an effectual door. Amen. I'm thankful for an effectual door.
Amen.
We had an open door in Mexico for several years before we had an effectual door. We had an open door in León, Guanajuato, Bill and I did, before it became really effectual.
Amen.
And yeah, that was some trying times. Talk to anybody in here that has really preached the gospel for a period of months or a couple of years without any real fruit, and they'll tell you what kind of a time that is, a trying time. All kind of goes through your mind, what am I doing wrong, or what do I need, what am I lacking? But finally that day came, and effectual doors opened in us.
Amen.
We had a great door, and then it became effectual.
Amen.
Paul had that same success. Paul had an effectual door in Ephesus. Acts 19. Verse 18, Acts 19:18, back in Ephesus, it says, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many believed in Ephesus. Many believed in Ephesus, this town of idolatry, this town that worshiped a little goddess called Diana. They chant in the streets, great is Diana, great is Diana. Many of them believed. Oh, we've had people in León saying, Viva la Virgen! Viva la Virgen! In a few weeks, they come around and they get saved.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. An effectual door. I mean, you preach the gospel for week after week after week, and you see a couple so saved. And that's really is glorious.
Amen.
An effectual door. He says also in verse 19, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men.
Amen.
And they counted the price of them, and found out 50,000 pieces of silver. After somebody gets saved, the next glorious step is they take all their idols and they burn them. I mean, for a while you're not so sure. They say they believe and they've been saved. And you walk in their house and there's an idol here, and there's an idol there, and there's an idol there, and they still got a candle or two burning here and there. When they take that step, they take all their idols that they've had over all their years and they junk them in the trash, or they burn them, or they bury them. That is glorious.
Amen.
That is effectual.
Amen.
They realize that they cannot continue serving God and serving idols.
Amen.
And they repent from their idolatry and they serve God. That is, a real blessing. We had a lady there, and there's a lady there in León. She's also about Grandma Tiquette's age. She's about 70 years old. She was saved through Grandma Tiquette. But I was over her house one night talking to her. And she says, yeah, you know, I used to make little dolls of Jesus and sell them. That was her business. She'd make little dolls and sell them in the market. She says, and I burned them all, of course, and I was glad to hear that. She says, you know, but there's, she says, today she was fixing to move, change houses. She says, today I was in my room back there, and I found one of those dogs that I hadn't seen before, and so I junked that. And then she says, you know, but there's one more. I have one more. She must have a tally out in her notebook where all her gods are. She says, there's one more in my little bodega, my little room I have rented to store all my stuff. She says, so tomorrow I'll go down there and I'll burn that one too.
Amen.
That's effectual.
Amen.
That is effectual. When they have take their religion and they'll turn their back on it, they'll turn their back on their religion, not only on religion, but on their family also.
Amen.
They'll turn their back on their family, say, look, I love you, but I cannot go on worshiping these idols. I cannot go on serving these dead idols. I've got to turn my back on them. I've got to for a testimony to you, I've got to show you that this is wrong. That is a real blessing to see this happen to these people. In verse 20, he says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
Amen.
That's the next step. Oh, that's a blessing. The word grows mightily. I mean, you're out there and you're in the meeting, and somebody stands up and says, you know, I was talking to one of my friends today about the gospel, and they got so mad at me, and they tell about their experiences at their work and in school. They've been witnessing. They get saved, they turn their back on religion, and they start witnessing to their friends and to their family. And believe me, in Mexico, you get saved if you're in a real Catholic home, everyone forsakes you. I mean, your own dog forsakes you. It's bad. Anyway, but the word grew in Ephesus.
Amen.
This town of idolaters, the word grew there. These people got out and they witnessed, and they got out and they told the gospel to people. And that's happened in Mexico. People get saved and they start witnessing their friends and their family.
Amen.
And it prevailed also, it says. In verse 20, verse 17, chapter 20, verse 17, we found some more success in Ephesus. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. The church.
Amen.
There was a church in Ephesus.
Amen.
There was a church started in Ephesus by Paul going there. I imagine some of the people when they saw Paul going there said, oh, Paul, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. Ephesus is a bad place. He went there and trusted God, and a church was started there. An effectual door in Ephesus. The church. There's also, they said there was elders there. There's already elders.
Amen.
Paul went there. He preached the gospel. People got saved. They started witnessing. A church was started. And already there's elders in Ephesus.
Amen.
That is a blessing.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, after people start witnessing their friends, after they start meeting as a church, and when God raises up a couple of elders, two or three elders out of the church, that really blesses your heart.
Amen.
I mean, you put in hours of hours and days after day of labor in the gospel, and you look back and you really see something that God has done in León, in Mexico, wherever you are, in San Luis. And we pray also that God will continue to bless in Lagos and in Aguascalientes. But the door in Mexico is open.
Amen.
It's an effectual door. We have found that God is saving souls in Mexico. He is blessing people. The church is growing. And God is raising up even elders in the church there in Mexico. That's a real blessing. It's an effective gospel. A lot of people are out there preaching a gospel. It's another gospel, and it's not effective. Jesus said over there in Mark chapter 7, he says that these Pharisees were hypocrites. He says that these people, they with their lips, they honor me, but their heart is far from me. Their lips, they may say all kinds of stuff. They may say the right words. They may say the right prayer. They may come out with the right statements. Or they may say, I love God. But their heart is far from them. And a gospel that is not effective, that doesn't change lives, there's something wrong. If there's no changed lives, if there's no real work going, something's wrong. It takes a while, though, for that door to become effectual sometimes.
Amen.
I mean, you're down there, and after a while, you wonder if something's wrong. And maybe somebody is, maybe it's not. We got to be careful. We don't think that just because not any results that something's wrong, we're out of the will of God. It takes a while. You got to plant. You got to plant the seed for a while. You got to plant. And then you got to water. And then in a few years or a few months, or whatever the case may be, he says, God gave the increase.
Amen.
God gave the increase. Joe didn't give the increase. Bill didn't give the increase. Mike and Brent didn't give the increase. God gave the increase. In Mexico, God's increased in Leon, in San Luis, in other places, and it's God has done it. God has given the increase. We need to preach an effective gospel. We need to remember that's where the power is, in the gospel.
Amen.
We can feed people. We can clothe them. We can tell them how to do their job better, but that's not going to change their lives. It's not going to change their hearts. They're still going to die and they're going to go to hell. People are all over the world trying to make their life a little easier, trying to make their feet a little bit more tender, or trying to cure some disease when they don't realize the problem is inside.
Amen.
They got a spiritual problem. And only the gospel is effective to do that.
Amen.
Only the gospel can change their hearts, can change their lives. Only the gospel can show them the vanity of their religion and the only reality is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Third thing he says, there are many adversaries.
Amen.
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 I don't care where you go. I don't care if you're in San Antonio or in Timbuktu. There's going to be adversaries. The devil always has his hand trying to hinder the gospel. He's always in there, whether he uses nice people or bad people, whether he uses government or just plain folks, he's always trying to hinder the gospel. I don't care where you are. In Ephesus, Acts 19:9, you had some people that were speaking evil of Paul. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Some people spake evil that way. They spake evil of the gospel. They spake evil of the way that Paul was preaching, or the way he was disputing in the synagogue, or the way he was preaching, or the way he was passing out tracts, or whatever it may be. They were speaking evil of what he was doing. The devil is always in on it. He's always trying to cut down people, trying to discredit Christians, trying to mess them up in the eyes of the whole world, so they look like a bunch of fools, speaking evil. In Spanish, it's calumnia. What's the word? Malice? Or no, what's the word? Calumnia. Slander, yeah, slander. I mean, all kinds of lies. Just a pack of lies. They'll say, you're just a bunch of ex or undercover CIA agents or something like that. Trying to discredit, trying to speak evil of what the missionaries are doing all over the world. Well, Acts 19:13 has some other people that were trying to hinder. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them the call of them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fell out of that house naked and wounded. Oh, I love it. The devil tries to imitate or try to do something that maybe looks like the exact replica of what God does, and God turns it around in his face. And he says, these people try and imitate Paul. They're trying to do what Paul did, thinking that they could do it also. And it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. The devil has ways of trying to imitate God's work. He has ways trying to get in and try to discredit people and try to hinder the gospel and try to gain glory for himself and take the glory away from God. But God won't let it. He says here, this man leaped on them. He says, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but I don't know who you are. Demetrius, verse 23. And the same time, there rose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. So not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great god Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, from all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Sounds like downtown Lammon, believe me. I mean, that's exactly what happened in Lammon. This Alejandro, he sells images. He has his little room, a small room that is property of the Catholic Church, and he sells images. He sells these little pictures of the Virgin and statues of the Virgin and pictures of Jesus and all these things. He went down there. We didn't know it at first. We didn't know who this guy was at first. But after three or four times, we got here that he was an image salesman. And we let him have it on that one, I'll tell you. This guy was afraid of losing his job. He was afraid of losing his wealth. And the devil used them to cause a great stir in Ephesus because of his gods. It must have been Paul preaching against his gods. I mean, Paul wasn't just preaching, you know, we love all people and don't do anything mean, don't preach anything bad, just love all people and read your Bible and don't cause any waves. Paul caused a wave. For somehow, the Ephesians got word that Paul was preaching against idols.
Amen.
And he got mad. The devil got all mad. The devil created this stir in Ephesus because Paul was preaching against idolatry. Paul was preaching against the problem in that city. Now you go to some other place where there's no problem with idolatry, there's no need to preach against idolatry. Maybe you need to preach against something else. But whatever the problem in that town is, Paul preached against it. The problem in Ephesus was idols. Paul preached against it. And people were getting saved. Praise the Lord, people were getting saved. But not without adversaries. Not without contention. It's amazing here that the success was there in spite of the adversary.
Amen.
The success was there in spite of all the problems that appeared to be. The success was there even if Demetrius was there. The success was there even if there were idols all over town and people went by them and all day they prayed to them. There was still success. God, even in Ephesus, was saving souls.
Amen.
If God can save souls there, why can't he here? Why can't he in Leon?
Amen.
Why can't he in Lagos?
Amen.
Why can't he anywhere else?
Amen.
I mean, there's nothing too hard for him. And it says in Thessalonians that Paul preached the gospel to them, even in contention. It didn't matter. Oh, they may have suffered a little more. They may have gotten a few more bruises. But God still reached down and saved souls.
Amen.
In these towns. And they were adversaries. We need to not get discouraged as adversaries. We need to be careful. We don't let the devil... What? When you preach the gospel like that, and people are getting mad, you know, you're doing something right.
Amen.
I mean, when you're preaching the gospel all over the country, and nothing's happening, people, you get done preaching, and somebody says, oh, that's real nice. You say, wait, you didn't understand. You didn't understand. I just said that your priest cannot forgive sins. You said that? That's how they are. When they say it's all nice and free, something's wrong. Either your message is wrong, or they're not listening. Well, there were adversaries there. And I, about a month ago, Alejandro showed up at our meeting one time. He didn't walk in, but he was outside in the street. And he was mad. He was throwing rocks at the doors, and he was doing all kinds of crazy. He never showed up after that. It was the last time he came. But I know that if he went to all the trouble to come in that place, then something is happening. I mean, he is not doing all this because we're just being nice people. The devil is mad. The devil gets mad when you preach the gospel. He gets mad when the gospel starts bringing results. People get saved and a church is started. The devil gets hopping mad and he sends out his people to destroy the work and to cause trouble. We need to keep on like Paul did and preach the gospel in the midst of contention. In the midst of adversaries.
Amen.
Over there in Acts 5, Gamaliel says, you know, if this work is of God, you can't stop it. You can't stop it.
Amen.
You know, Alejandro cannot stop any work if it's of God. I'm not going to stop it. Oh, it may go through some troubles. It may have to go underground, which I doubt. But there might come a time when the work has to go underground or something. But it's not going to be stopped.
Amen.
Because it's of God, it won't be stopped. If it's of men, who cares? Let it stop. There's a great door in Mexico, brothers. It's an effectual door, but they're adversaries. We're not trying to say that everything is rosy. It's not really that bad, but they're adversaries. But don't let the adversaries get you down. Don't let the adversaries make you think that it's not going to work out, or that it's not the place for you to go. Paul went there.
Amen.
Adversaries and all adversaries, he went there.
Amen.
Because God called him there. God opened the door. It's an open door in Mexico. And we're there because it's open. We're there because it's open and because God commanded us to go. He said, go. We saw a door open. We went to the open door. And we found an open door, a great door. It's become effectual. And we thank the Lord for all the things He's done in Mexico. Praise the Lord.
Amen.